Paul talked about.
And we always talk about the idea that we have this, some people have this really skewed view of looking at the Lord like he's a genie, of like, I'm going to pray to you, Lord.
I pray, I get stuff, right?
Right. I pray for that Lamborghini that comes in red, right? I really want the red one.
Right.
And, you know, it's dying to ourselves, right? Every day, picking up that cross and following him.
Sure.
And, you know, at the end of the day, the really only really thing that, you know, should matter to us is that relationship we have with the Lord.
All right, welcome back to another Unplugged episode of Uncommon. I am TJ.
I am Joshua.
And this is Uncommon. And so today, we're talking about, we are not responsible for the outcome, but we are responsible for the obedience. And so that made us immediately think of the Great Commission. And so in Matthew 28:19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." It was the very last thing Matthew recorded, because the very next thing is Mark 1.
Yeah.
And so how many times, and we talked a little bit about this in another podcast, of if you're in the profession, you're called to ministry, I'm assuming that one of the classes is around disappointment. I'm like, okay, guys, look, we have a whole semester on, look, you're going to ask them to make a decision, and no one's going to respond.
Right.
Or they're not going to respond when you think they are, right? Or even here, they may go home and have a moment there, right? And so we're talking about that, but also from a layman's terms of, we're called to pray for people, the Great Commission. That's for everyone on the planet. That's right. Everyone. And you start trying, it's hard enough to have a conversation with someone, your fear of it, what are they going to say? If it's a family member, it's going to destroy families.
Right.
I mean, we've seen that firsthand, that relationships got broken because you talked about Jesus. And that's not the epitome of a difficult conversation. I don't know what is, right? So we get caught up in not just the challenge of speaking about it, but also the result.
Right. I mean, it's interesting to see throughout the Bible that this is a common thing, and you can see multiple times there are people, even prophets, that like fight this tooth and nail.
Yeah.
I mean, Jonah is a great example of like the Lord calls him. He's like, "All right, I need you to go to Nineveh." And he's like, "I don't wanna. I don't wanna. Well, guess what, Jonah? I really wasn't asking for your option here.
That wasn't a question.
Right. And so, you know, as a more forced obedience, but, you know, God's will still came from that. After Jonah's like, "All right, fine. Got ate by the fish. I smell like the beach. All right, fine, let's go." But like, I mean, all of this of like, you see that, but then you see the other side of like, you know, Joseph having to go through all that he went through and still being obedient and, you know, doing all the prophecy through the dreams and, you know, staying true to his stance with the Pharaoh's wife, or not Pharaoh's wife, Potiphar's wife. But you just see that this isn't a new thing, right? You know, we want to know all the story. Like, we want to know the whole thing. Like, all right, well, I'll do that thing, but can I, how's that going to play out? Or what's that going to work out for me?
What is my ROI? What is the success rate of that?
Right. But I think oftentimes, like, I think about David when he prayed about, he was in the cave, hiding from some Philistines, and he prayed to the Lord, like, "Should I go fight the Philistines?" And the Lord's like, "Go fight the Philistines." David didn't ask, "Okay, am I gonna win, Lord?"
He just asked, "Will I die in battle?"
Yeah, he's like, "Should I just go fight them?" And the Lord's like, "Yeah, go fight them." It's like, that's obedience, right? Of like, I mean, sure, you want to win, but the Lord's like, not really asking for you to understand my vision and my plan for all of this. I've called you to do X. I need you to do the X.
Even to show the how much Jesus stepped out of glory into the realm of man when he asked if this cup could be passed, not my will, but yours, right, to be done. HB said something really cool this past weekend. I wanted to write it down. Said, the purpose of God is to use the Spirit of God to move the children of God to read the Word of God to be more like the Son of God. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And that, I think, would be the ultimate obedience. None of that sounded like suggestions. That sounded like a directive, a command, a commission, right? And many times we approach this stuff as if it's like stop signs, like a suggestion, or red lights, optional, if you're living near Charlotte. And so obedience and outcome. It's a challenge that I'm sure that most pastors experience, but even us in everyday life. You join the gym. Obedient, but I want to get healthier, I want to get in shape, I'm going to join the gym. If I join the gym, am I going to be fit within 30 days? How about you just join the gym for a little bit, kind of thing? I'm supposed to not drink sodas anymore because kidney stone stuff. It's just another thing that they, you know, hey, let's try this.
How about no joy?
No dairy, that kind of thing. I realized that, well, pain's a good motivator. And so gone were the sodas. But, you know, obedience feels like it is so tied to the outcome that are we really being obedient if we're just doing it? Okay, if I do this, I get this.
Right.
Okay, I'll do it. It's like that doesn't seem like you're kind of doing it with the intention of being obedient, right? If we're not responsible for the outcome.
Right, because it's almost like, okay, you can go like, okay, you need to do this thing because you'll get this reward, or if you don't do that thing, this thing will happen, which is a bad thing. And you know, we always talk about the idea that we have this, some people have this really skewed view of looking at the Lord like he's a genie, of like, I'm going to pray to you, Lord.
I pray, I get stuff, right?
Right, I pray for that Lamborghini, it comes in red, right? I really want the red one.
Right.
And, you know, it's dying to ourselves, right? Every day, picking up that cross and following him.
Sure.
And, you know, at the end of the day, the really only really thing that, you know, should matter to us is that relationship we have with the Lord. That's the only thing that is guaranteed up with that level of obedience, right?
Right.
Nothing else is that is guaranteed like that. But I think for some, it's like, well, I need this to be transactional. And it's not. It's relational.
And my notes here says, you can't do life for Jesus without doing life with Jesus, right? So if, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So it sounds like he's going to be with you as you go on this great commission. Wait for it, the Holy Spirit, right? So it's not like we're doing this on our own. So he is there with us going through this after we've trying to be obedient and doing things. And so I chalk it up to one, sin, two, the human condition, right? The finite mind of TJ and his inability to always keep the bigger picture in mind, tying outcome to obedience. And I never really hear pastors preach on like anything around expectation of response, right? They challenge, hey, here's the Great Commission. But I've never heard, and if you either, a pastor say something like, we give the altar call every week, and we had, I don't know, just make another 10 decisions all year long. I struggle with that number because I hope it would be larger. Mm-hmm. I've never heard a pastor preach on that.
I remember a pastor talked about his time when he was younger in the ministry, and he started preaching at Itty Bitty Church, and he came in with that idea of like, I'm coming here and I'm going to light this place on fire. We're going to have packed out sermons and all this kind of stuff. And he started preaching everything, and it went really poorly for him. And one of the elders came to him, and he was just like really frustrated. Like, I thought we were going to get so many more people. I was trying to like revitalize this thing. And I'm trying to like really, you know, cram in the church. And the elder's like, that sounds like a lot of you in that statement.
Yeah. Is that like, Ben?
I think it might have been Ben when he was younger and the pastor. And so it's one of those things that even for people who are in the Word and being, you know, shepherds of us, it's an easy line to cross of, that's a great byproduct of this, of people coming to Christ. I mean, you know, I'm always so encouraged when I hear about our student pastor talking about how, you know, we had like 100-something kids come to Christ over their last camp trip. The youth group's always packed every week. But if that is the only expectation, then that's not obedience. That's, well, I want that thing, so I got to do this thing to get that thing.
And to stay in the same thread of that same church with another pastor at that church, that said, if nothing changes, nothing changes. Mm-hmm. And so if we never are obedient in join the gym, spread the gospel, eat healthy, whatever it is, then obviously nothing changes.
Right.
And so you know, in a world full of that, we hamper the gospel, we hamper the kingdom. But the great thing is that in spite of TJ, God's going to move.
Right.
God's going to move someone. Rahab, right? I mean, when no one else will step up, Rahab stepped in the gap. He will raise up someone. Mm-hmm. So I would rather be used obediently, willingly by God, and not in spite of it.
Right.
And because at some point, God may tell someone, everyone, some, you know, when you wouldn't go, I sent this person. That's kind of sobering.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, when didn't I go? Remember when you didn't take in that prisoner? When did we see you? You know, when you see that person, you see me. Mm-hmm. So you can see a lot of these things connect. We just happen to connect the two end pieces, obedience and outcome.
Cause and effect.
Right. We need to connect the dots in between, because that's the middle of the mountain, right? That's where everybody lives, and that's where things are shared. People won't get saved, and people reject it. They hear it again, they get saved. I mean, what if you knew that that person you're witnessing to had to be told 2 times to come to Christ, and you were the first one? Be like, oh man, I got to do it. Because then the next person is going to will get that person to Christ. But if you won't, then it might delay that person's blessing.
Right. And then I would posit that if you knew it took 2 times, would you come at it with the same ferocity as if you were the only person that was sharing the gospel to that person? If you knew, it's going to take 2, so I'll just say, hey man, Jesus loves you, have a great day, and walk away, you know? It's one of those things, I think, burden of knowledge is it's not what we want. And it wouldn't save anything, wouldn't fix anything. Yeah. It would make things probably much more difficult for most of us.
Probably so.
And that, you know, at the end of the day, obedience and understanding that the Lord's plan, not mine, is the end result, I think. And that's not I got there, and then I get to stay there. And that, and I just understand that now. That's a daily occurrence for everyone, right?
It's a
daily choosing of, okay, Lord, not my will, but yours be done.
Let's see. Therefore, make disciples of all nations. That's a pretty big list.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, it was like around, what, 7-8 billion kind of thing. And someone was asking recently, like, because I don't really, like, tell people a whole lot about it in a comment when we're out and about kind of thing. If they bring it up, we'll talk about it a little bit. But someone said something like, you know, so is this just like in the United States only? I said, mm-hmm. No. I said, we actually have a map of where at least one person has interacted with Uncommon, mm-hmm. whether it be they were a member, they downloaded some content, they subscribed to the newsletter, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I forget I think it's like 190 countries, something mm-hmm. like that. And we have reached 155 countries. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't updated that map in about a year or two. Hopefully, it's more.
Right.
But I mean, that's a great number to motivate some people, but I don't know if, like you said, we need to see those numbers mm-hmm. to be obedient.
Right.
We should just be obedient, whether if it's just you and me and the six people who receive this podcast, mm-hmm. that should be enough.
Yeah.
It's not about the results for us. It's just the obedience.
Yeah.
So, well, if you have had struggles or success with obedience and outcome, let us know in the comments how you've handled that, how you're still handling that, or if you've found a way to approach that in a way that we have not covered today.
Yeah.
So be sure to check out uncommon.org. There's ton of content around these topics. Mm-hmm. I know there's a topic we have not talked about yet. I feel that there's, we try not to rehash the same stuff. Mm-hmm. I even asked AI, go look at all of our content, all of our videos, and find something that I've not yammered about yet, please. And so a couple of these were like, hey, these are brand new. I'm like, great. I'll work on destroying that one too. So uncommon.org. Check out our blogs, our devotions, all of our content, mm-hmm. and we want to make sure we take and thank our sponsor, Page Progressive, for their ongoing support financially, as well as all the hosting support mm-hmm. they provide to us for free, which is no small feat.
No.
We have a problem. Can you fix it? That kind of thing. So I want to thank Daniel and his team. So Joshua, hit him with it.
Gonna be something, be uncommon.